So last week, if you recall, we spoke about what I call the non-issue, and that is, do you have to stand up for Aseret HaDibrot? Is it absolutely forbidden because you're giving more credence to the Ten Commandments than the rest of the Torah? Or is it tolerable? Or is it okay today? And I ended this year by saying that according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and the shir I heard from Rav Asher Weiss, the issue is non-issue anymore for a very simple reason. Whoever comes to shul believes in the entire Torah or doesn't believe in any word of the Torah. There's no such thing anymore as someone coming along and saying, oh, the Ten Commandments, I believe in everything beyond that. No. Try to find me a Jew that keeps Shabbos, but Yontif, no, that's not for me. So to make a long story short, that was last week. This week I want to go a step further and not talk about a non-issue, but a real issue. And what's the real issue? Do you have to stand up for laning all year? Now we have this issue all the time in shul. Everybody knows, how do you identify a Baal Tshuva or a non-religious Jew, or a non-religious Jew as of yet, a non-religious Jew currently, but about to become religious in a shul? How do you know if a person's religious or not? Everyone's wearing a kippah. Everyone's dressed modestly. So how do you identify?
They sit there quietly. They're
very good. If they're not doing what everyone else is doing. For example, they're holding the sitter
upside down.
Upside down. They're sitting when everyone's standing.
He throws a cigarette out before walking in.
They're not talking about
and left wing of what I just said. But one of the issues is, do you have to stand up for various things? Baruch Hu, Kaddish, Kedusha, Svardim, Ashkenazim, Minhagim, and whatnot. And we get to an issue now called Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, as everybody knows, is a result of the fact that the Jewish people needed it. If you look at the Gemara at the beginning of the source sheet, a famous Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Bet, Amud Aleph, Ezra, under his presidency, made 10 different enactments. He didn't say to build a wall down in Mexico. He did say, Shekorin b'mincha b'shabbos v'korin b'sheni v'chamishi. The Gemara says, what do you mean? He made the takana to read the Torah in shul and mincha on Sunday, on Monday and Thursday. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And the Gemara answers, indeed, v'yelchu shloshet yomim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. Where is that from? They went 3 days in the desert and they did not find water. And then the Jewish people did what they did best. They fetched. Everybody's awake today. Thank God. Gentlemen, when was that?
May Meriva.
Give me a date. You have to put this date on your calendar. I don't understand why Jewish calendars put dates of things that I really don't know what we're celebrating, like Lag BaOmer and Tu B'Shvat, but this date's not there. This date changed shul forever. What's the date? Do the math. They left Pesach, they left Mitzrayim on what day?
It's 3 days after.
The 15th of Nisan. 7 days later, it's which day? 21st. What happened on the 21st of Nisan? They split the Sea of Reeds. 22, 23, 24. The 24th of Nisan. Kaf Dalet Nisan. If you don't have it on your Google calendar, put it in. This is the day that will stay in, as President Roosevelt said after Pearl Harbor, a day that will be remembered in?
Infamy.
There you go, infamy. Why is that date so important?
They ran away with the gold.
They went 3 days, they didn't find water, and then the famous thing happened with the log. Moshe Rabbeinu put it in, and then it became sweet. Now, Doshe Rishomot Amru, the various the sources we have from that time, the tradition say, and Mayim El HaTorah. It's not only that they didn't find water. They were totally and utterly dry of Torah knowledge.
Ignorance.
They were not ignoramuses, but their mind was not being stimulated. Shenem ha'hoi kol tzameh lechu l'mayim, kevan shalchus shalosh yomim b'lo Torah, nil'u. Because they went 3 days without Torah, their minds were not stimulated. They were like zombies. That's what the Gemara says. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have to read the Torah every 3 days. What did Ezra do? He added in the details. You have to have 3 aliyahs and 7 aliyahs and all that. That's the source for why we read the Torah in shul. And why did I say this day, the 24th of Nisan, will remain a day that we shall remember in infamy? Because you all know, how would you feel going to shul on Wednesday morning versus Thursday morning? You all know how would you feel if they skip Tachanun on Wednesday versus Thursday. What happens on Thursday that doesn't happen on Wednesday?
A longer
davening. So this is an important date. I don't know why Lag BaOmer is in the calendar, and this is not. Now that I let that off my chest, I'm now a pussycat. Let's start talking. Maseches Megillah, Daf Kof Aleph Amud Aleph. Do you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? The Mishnah says, HaKorot HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev. When you read the Megillah on Purim, you can stand, you could sit, no problem. Gemara right away.
About Korei or?
We're not talking about Hilchos Megillah now, but according to the Pshat Mishnah, even the Baal Korei. If you want to look on YouTube and see Rabbi Vajja Yosef in a minyan reading the Megillah, he read it sitting down. Our minhag in Ashkenazic shuls, we'll get to Purim. Gemara right away comments, Masha'en Kin BaTorah. That's not the law with regard to the Torah. With regard to leaning, you have to stand. Menah Nimili. What's Menah Nimili? Menah Hane Mili. What is the source of these? This halacha. Amar Rav Amod, Amar Krava, Tapo, Amod, Imadi. In Parshat Ve'et Hanan, which is the second time we find Aseret HaDibrot in the Torah, That's the famous part where it says Shamor versus Yitro says Zachor. If you look on the bottom of the sheet that brought you the whole source, God basically says, tell the Jewish people, go home. Ma'amad Har Sinai is over. That's a shear into itself. Why do you have to tell them to go home? I mean, that's like a given. When the shear is over, you go home. But he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Atapo Amodim Adi, you here stand. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaned. Moshe Rabbeinu learned, heard, and he did it standing up. Gemara says, Ilmulei Mikra Shekatov Yishav Mamo, Kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaning, he's standing. Ata Po Amod Imadi, you stand with me. Me, God, what am I doing? I'm standing, stand along with me. Thus, when you lean, you have to stand. As a matter of fact, the Gemara goes on to say, even when you teach Torah, you should be standing. So the fact that I'm sitting down now is a big avera. You learn the rest of the Gemara, and you could see that at a certain time, when Rabban Gamliel was on the scene, Yarad Choli La'olam, we all became a little sick, we need to sit down. So we're all sick, everybody go and get a sick note from their mommy. The bottom line is, we're sitting down. What interests me this morning is laning. Do you have to stand for laning? The Beis Yosef says, "V'tzarich liot ikrot me'umad itnan," and he quotes the Gemara, "U'mashba de dafka hakore tzarich la'amod." So, in any shul, Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Temani, Italian, etc., Mefurash Gemara, Beis Yosef Paskins, the laner has to stand. That's nice. I got it. What about the listener? But we just learned the Gemara, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "You stand with me." Now, what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the laner?
Listen.
He's the listener. So maybe I have to stand.
He's the backup.
So Moshe Rabbeinu was up in heaven. You know, we don't deal with those things heavenly, what happened up there. Let's go down to earth. And say for Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the chief rabbi when during the second Beis HaMikdash, when they built it. It was a very, very famous scene during the second Beis HaMikdash. And that was, Vayasfu chol ha'am ki'ish echad el ha'rechov asher lifnei sha'ar ha'mayim. Vayomru le'ezra asofa la'vi et sefer Torat Moshe et tzitziva Hashem et Yisrael. So the second Beis HaMikdash is now built. When they open it up for business, when the Jewish shuls open up, for the high holidays, they opened up for Rosh Hashanah. So they took out the Baron Baal Machzers, and they took out the little kippas that look like cones, and they put doilies for the women. They opened up the Beis HaMikdash for business. Now they took out the Sefer Torah. And everyone stood there and heard the Sefer Torah. Vayiftach Ezra Sofer le'inei chol ha'am, kima mi'al kol ha'am haya. Ezra Sofer's on top. He's on a elevated bima, like many shuls have elevated bimas. Uchepotcho, and when he opened the Sefer Torah, amdu kol ha'am. What did the people do?
They stood up.
Comes along the Beis Yosef and says, I know Nehemiah. I know the Baal Korah has to stand. Look at the Beis Yosef. Avalo sharatzibor v'cheinu agim. The people don't have to stand. Be'ein raya mikan. There's no raya from Nehemiah. Why? Because when we read Tanakh, Bruce, you have a problem. You know modern Hebrew. You can speak in Hebrew. Modern Hebrew. Okay, no, okay. Bruce knows post-modern Hebrew. In post-modern Hebrew, omeid means stand. Yoshev means sit. The problem is when you read the biblical text, sometimes the words we use in modern Hebrew do not mean the same thing in the biblical text. For example, when it says, Lo ta'ase kol melacha, you do not do any melacha on Shabbos, in many interpretations of the Bible, what is melacha?
Work.
Work.
Wrong.
And how many times have you heard, what work? I'm putting on the light. That's not work, but schlepping chairs and schlepping the children from the kitchen to the kiddush room, that's work. Never says work, it says melacha. Says the Beis Yosef, in the biblical text, omeid does not literally mean stand. The besota mefarish, and mesechet sota, it says, amdu lashon shtika. What's la'amod? Everyone, stand. In the biblical text, it's another way of saying, everyone, quiet. Everyone, hush your mouths. I won't go further in what I'm thinking. But quite frankly, says the Beis Yosef, what happened in Nehemiah? The Baal Korah stood, that's the halacha, and the people were quiet, but they were sitting. Look on the left side of the page. HaMordechai katav, but the Mordechai says otherwise. The Mordechai, as you know, was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. So is it a surprise to you this morning, Mitch, that guess who's about to quote? Take a wild guess. You are a genius. First answer you gave this morning, and it was correct. Haram, my Rebbe, the Maharami Rutenberg, haya omed b'shat kriyat Torah. So the Mordechai is a Talmid. He's learning by his Rebbe, the Maharam, his Chavrusa Zarosh, and they're learning by the Maharam. This is before, obviously, he was taken into captivity. Kriyas Torah, he stood. Not because he was leaning. He was the listener. V'chen noagim tzat Ashkenazim v'tzorfatim. As you know, in the medieval times, there were three main Jewish centers. Ashkenaz, Sfarad, and in between, what we call Tzorfat or Provence. So Ashkenazim and Tzorfatim, they stand, some, not all. The Sfaradim sit. Ubehalachot ktanot, katav, yesh omdim b'sha'at kriyat ha-Torah, umivrim raya midichtiv, uchepat cholamdu kol ha'am. Comes the Mordechai and says, my Rebbe, the Maharam, opened the Sefer Nehemiah and saw that the people stood. He understood stood not meaning quiet, but rather stand. So we stand. That's what he would do. The Taz says, Lo hivanti divrei Rav Sar Shalom, devadai ha'amida haya kepshuta. Ela bodo oto ha'amida, tzarich lomar b'shtika. Says the Taz, I don't understand. The Rav Sar Shalom that was quoted by the Beit Yosef says, stand doesn't mean stand, it means quiet. What do you mean it means quiet? It means stand. Now, gentlemen, it also means to be quiet. Yeah, that's another halacha. But stand. So we have an interesting machloket. The Beis Yosef says the people can sit, and in Nehemiah they were just quiet. And according to the Mordechai, his Rebbe, the Maharam, would stand. And indeed, it doesn't mean quiet only; it means stand. So that's a machlokas, different minhagim. Okay. I would like to go and say, what are they really dealing with? And I would like to suggest a suggestion. It's my suggestion. I don't know if it's correct or incorrect. Please disagree. They're not disagreeing about does omeid mean quiet or stand. Everybody agrees you have to be quiet during Kriyas HaTorah. And it seems a little too much to say it's all because omeid means sit. It means quiet and not sit. So what is the machlokas? We just learned the Gemara that says that today when you learn Torah, you can sit down. The Gemara above, if you can look at it again, the Gemara says, Mi'emot Moshe rad Rabban Gamliel hayu lemedim Torah elam u'mad, Mishemet Rabban Gamliel arad choli la'olam, hayu lemedim Torah miyushav. So when you learn Torah today, as we're doing this morning, we're all sitting down. So if you define laning as Torah reading, then... If you define leaning as learning Torah, you sit. There's a small quirk. The Baal Korah stands. But you sit. It's learning Torah. You have to hear the parsha. You have to learn it. But if you define Torah reading as something else, then maybe you stand. What did we say last week? We're mimicking Sinai. Maybe every time we read the Torah, it's not to learn Torah. But it's to mimic Sinai. There's a Yerushalmi Maseches Megillah that says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak ayel leknishta. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak went to shul. That is not a chiddush. Jewish people go to shul. Now comes the big chiddush. Chad bar nash. What's a bar nash? Today it's not a nice term, but yes, in the Yerushalmi it just means a person. a person. Mitargim Samach La'amudas. You know, there used to be an interpreter, or Miturgeman, standing next to the laner, interpreting what the laning said. So what did he do? He was Mitargim Samach La'amudas. And what was he doing? He was leaning on the pillar. Just leaning on the pillar.
That means he's not standing.
Amar le'asur lecha. Keshem shenitna be'ema ve'yira. Kachana tzuchim inhog ba'be'ema ve'yira. You can't lean on the pillar. Just like the Torah was given in trepidation and fear, so too you learn Torah in trepidation and fear. Rav Chagai Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Alek Nishta. Another Jew. Great rabbi went to shul. Chamar Chuna came to targim emelo. Kame Barnini shtachtu. Chamar Chuna came up to interpret, and he put his hands on the bima. Amar solecha k'shem shenitai de sasur kachatu asim sasur. He went ahead and he did two things at once. He also leaned, and he also interpreted. Said the Gemara solecha. You can't do it because what happened at Sinai? You had a gentleman named Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah, and then he gave it to the Jewish people. So you have to do the same thing in shul. You have to get in a guy who gets an aliyah. He receives the Torah, and he's like the messenger in place of Moshe to give the Torah. So you can't do two things at once. If you're teaching the Torah like Moshe, you can't be the person laying the Torah, because who's the laner? Kiviyachol? God! So thus we have a guy who gets an aliyah. Interesting Yerushalmi. Is it a halacha? L'maisa? We're not going to deal with that now.
As far as though some of them get aliyah and ling their portion too.
Yeah. We'll deal with why don't we do that? But that we'll get to that later. Here we were talking about laning and interpreting. Two different things.
Yeah, the Temanim have someone lane, and right after him, Pasuk, someone is a Miturgeman. Mm-hmm. Someone else.
And indeed, the Rambam Paskins, Vena Miturgeman Nishan, Lo La'amud, Velo La'korah, Elo Med Be'emel V'hira. If Torah reading is to mimic Har Sinai, then of course we have to stand. What did we do at Har Sinai? We stood. Now you understand why Ezra HaSofer was Me'al Kol Ha'am, was an elevated bima. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah? Har Sinai. So I'm the first to be four shuls to be handicap proof, and everyone should be able to get an aliyah, including people in wheelchairs. But when shuls don't have an elevated bima, they're losing out on this issue. They can have an elevated bima, by the way, with a ramp. It doesn't mean one or the other. But an elevated bima means that it's to mimic Har Sinai. And when the Baal Korah reads, and the rabbi or the guy who gets the aliyah receives the Torah, one's in place of God, Kiviyachol, and the other's in place of Moshe. And as you know, Aaron and the Kohanim stood around Har Sinai. What do we usually have at the Bima? We have the guy who's most hated in every shul. You know the story with Moshe, no? Moshe and Yankel were learning in Europe. Yankel went to America, made a lot of money. Moshe stayed in Europe. After Yankel made a lot of money, he went to visit Europe. He comes to the town and says, you know where Yankel is? Yankel the mamzer! He lives over there. He goes to the next day, you know where Yankel lives? Yankel? Yankel the lowlife? He lives over there. This goes on and on. Everyone's talking about Yankel like he's a piece of garbage. Finally, he goes to Yankel. Yankel, what do you do? Oh, I'm the gabbai. You're the gabbai. Why are you a gabbai? Look what they're saying. He said, what do you mean? I like to get a little kavod. We say it in benching, as you know. No? You don't say it? Everyone hears a litvak, harachaman, who you're finding a saying, lubechavot. God should give us a lot of kavot. No? So, the gabbai is in place of Aaron. We're mimicking Har Sinai every time we're laning. If you're mimicking Har Sinai, you have to stand. If you're not mimicking Har Sinai, you're just learning Torah, you could sit. That's the way I understand the machloket between the Beis Yosef and the Maharam. The Maharam sees Kriyas HaTorah not as teaching Torah, because if you want to teach Torah, you'll do it in English, you'll do it sitting down, you'll explain, you'll give room for questions. Imagine if we did that during Kriyas HaTorah. We'd be there till tomorrow. Kriyas HaTorah, imagine if I would say, I'm giving a shir now. Bruce says, come give a shir. Okay, I come here, and I start saying, and Moshe said, and God said to Moshe, saying, go over there, come over here, go up, go down. Yo, look at me. Where did you get this nut? Out of a mental institute somewhere? Poor man, he needs therapy. No? So Rami Bucher said, that's not teaching Torah. Teaching Torah is given in his time in German or in Yiddish, and you do it in a base medrash, and there's room for questions, and there's a source sheet, etc. That's mimicking Har Sinai. Come to Beis Yosef and says, no, that's teaching Torah. What can be better than learning words of Torah? Going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he have in mind? Did he have in mind that every 3 days we have to mimic the Sinai experience because that changed our lives forever? After all, before Ma'amad Har Sinai, we can eat meat and milk and lobsters and oysters, and afterwards not. So it's important to remember it. Or no, what's important to remember every 3 days? Not to be a zombie and a primitive Jew, so you have to learn Torah. If it's learning Torah, sit. If it's mimicking Har Sinai,
stand.
Turn the page. What's the halacha? On this issue, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I'm sure Mr. Wise is saying here, without turning the page and saying, I know what they paskin. If the Beis Yosef paskins this, then the Rambam must paskin like the Maharam. Why? Because the Maharam was an Ashkenazi, and the Beis Yosef was a Sephardi. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch says, En tzarich lamod mu'umad beit shekorin haTorah. Comes along the Rama and says, V'yesh machmirin ve'omdim v'chein asa maharam. How does the Rama paskin? Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to sit. You don't have to stand, you can sit. It's learning Torah. What does the Rama says? Yesh machmirin ve'omdim. What does that mean? He's against the Shulchan Aruch?
No, it's just people who are...
There are some people that are machmir and stand like the Maharam. Namely, according to the Taz, no, the Maharam's correct. Why did the Rama say v'yesh machmirin v'omdin? He was being nice. He had a good. He was in a good mood that day, you know. They didn't get him in Krakow that day. He was in a good mood. Because nirim devei Maharam dechonim v'chen ra'u lanu ninhog. Comes along the Bach and says, no, my dear son-in-law, that's not what he means. The Bach was the father-in-law of the Taz. He says, the Gama Maharam will dead the Medina Shari. What, the Maharam said that you have to stand? He said you could sit. If you ask a Jew, halacha, do you stand or sit during Kriyas HaTorah? You could sit. Why did the Maharam then stand? The Sfirulei, the Ra'ui la'hader v'la'amod, b'vnei she'tzarich ha'adam la'halot b'da'atok, yishomea ha'kriya mipeh ha'kore, ki ilu kiblo alto sha'am mihar Sinai. What does the Bach say? I basically agree with the Shulchan Aruch, and so does the Ramah. But, as we say in fancy English, an additional level of interpretation, an additional thing you can do when you read the Torah, is to mimic Har Sinai. If you want to mimic Har Sinai, you can do it all the way, or half the way. What's half the way? Make an elevated bima, have a guy there laning, a guy receiving, a gabbai, Moshe, Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all standing at the bima. You want to go a step further? What we call first class? Everyone should stand. But that's an added additional level of interpretation. What's the main thrust, the main idea of laning? Learning Torah. If you want to mimic Har Sinai, we do that. You want to go all the way? Stand. That's why the Rama did not say stand. What did he say? V'yesh machririm ve'omdim. So today, when you leave the shir, and a Jew who doesn't know better, or someone coming back to his roots, or a convert asks you, do you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? What's the answer?
No.
No. According to the Bach, according to the way we learn. According to the Taz, machlokas. Then you can add, you know, there's an additional beautiful level of interpretation about Kriyas HaTorah. But if you stand, it's a beautiful thing. Why? Because it's mimicking Har Sinai. Now, based on this, if indeed the machloket of standing versus sitting is, are you learning Torah versus are you mimicking Har Sinai, you can look at me and say, nice interpretation, you know. Yehoshua Grunstein with his book on Acts comes in, gives us his interpretation. How do I know he's right? Maybe he's dead wrong. What do you say, Harold? Can I be dead wrong?
Nope.
Harold? Wrong answer. There's a Masechta in Shas, Masechet Horayot. Do you know what it deals with? Small Masechta, you should learn it. You want to make a Siyum before Erev Pesach? Horayot. What happens in Horayot? If the Beis Din made a mistake, if the Sanhedrin made a mistake, all it talks about is rabbis making mistakes. Rabbis being wrong. We do not believe in our religion, Harold, of what they believe in another religion you may have heard of, that the priest, the head of the flock is, what's the word they use?
Infallible.
He can't be wrong. We don't have that in our little religion, in our little Judaism. So maybe I'm wrong. You know, Brooklyn accent can't fool anyone. If I had an English accent, all right, that sounds intelligible. But a Brooklyn accent, what does he know? So in order for me to prove my point, let's see the halachos, and let's see if I'm right. I will bring two halachos to prove my point, in which I'm going to say, this proves my point. Number one, last week we read the Kriya Aseret HaDibros. You ever notice in the Chumash what happens right before Aseret HaDibros?
Tam
Elyon, Tam Tachton. What's that all about?
Which
trump do you use? What is it based on? Let's just now, I don't know anything about Judaism, explain to me. What's Tam Elyon versus Tam Tachton? One divides it into Psukim like the rest of the Torah. The other divides it not into Psukim, but into commandments. So how many Psukim will you have altogether? Take a wild guess.
14.
10. Okay, Bruce, you failed the coffee 10. Test today. That's 10, it, Bruce.
10,
Bruce,
10,
I want it to be recorded that you failed the coffee test. Next week, you're home where you're coming to class after two cups of coffee. Okay? If I would have asked 10 commandments, how many psukim do you think we have if we divide it into White commandments? Words. You have 10. If you divide it into psukim, I don't know how many psukim there are. For example, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneh b'reicha, eight chakra is one pasuk. But if it's 10 commandments, it will become how many? Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneh b'reicha, eight chakra. How many psukim? Four. That, two minhagim. What is it based on? The Biur Halacha brings both. Some people say that all year long, left side, you always read it, divided into commandments. Right side says, no, when you're laying on Parshat Ve'etchanan and Yitro, you're laying it based on Psukim, divided into Psukim, but on Shavuos, divided into commandments. What's the machlokas? What's behind these two minhagim? If it's learning Torah, divided into Psukim, like the rest of the Torah. The one day a year we mimic Har Sinai is Shavuos, got it. But if all year long we're mimicking Har Sinai, then every time you read the Ten Commandments, which is the Har Sinai, says the Biur Halacha, yesh nogim likrot betzibur le'olam betam helyon, haynu af beparshat Yitro, parshat Ve'etchanan. Second nafkamina, with this we conclude. I just said, is it learning Torah? Or is it mimicking Har Sinai? Gentlemen, let me ask you a question. When do people wake up in shul? Because, you know, shul could be boring. I mean, real boring. When is there a little action in shul? Shabbos. People wake up, they come, it's boring, it's a long psukah de zimra, all you need is a chazan that goes slow, and psukah de zimra, that botches up the whole davening. Then you get to shachris, alright, shachris pretty short, not bad. Alright, well, we'll get through the memkomcha, slow tune, we'll get through it. Finally, you get to laning. Laning, a long laning. Amen. Another mishaberuch, a third mishaberuch, he had a grandchild, he had a grandson, he just graduated from college, this goes on and on. When is there action? When is in action? During the week, I always say this action and davening when you get to Shir Shal Yom. Then you have to figure out, oh, which day is it? Oh, it's Monday. Oh, all of a sudden people have kavana for davening. Shabbos, it's a dead giveaway. Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. So you don't get action there. When is there action in Shul on Shabbos? When do people wake up like, oh, hell, we got to arrive one here?
Passing the Torah to the women's section.
Passing the Torah to the women's section.
Kiddush.
Kiddush.
I'm talking about in davening. In davening. Kiddush. Gentlemen, in davening. When? When the Baal Korah makes a mistake. They jump on him like he just was an apostate. He went ahead and became a Catholic priest. Because he never makes a mistake. A good Baal Korah doesn't make a mistake. Now what happens when you make a mistake? It comes along the Rambam and says, Kara vita, afilu bedikduk otachat, machzirin otoat shikrena bedikduk. If you go ahead and you lay and you make a mistake even with one little diktuk of an ot, what's a good example of that? When you say the word kesef, kesef means money. Not exactly money, it means silver. If it's the end of the pasuk, right at nachta, what do you say? Not kesef, but
kasef.
All right. What happens if you say kasef instead of kesef, or kesef instead of kasef? Does it become something else? No. Says the Rama, I don't care. Tell him to read it again.
Eitanef.
Comes along the Rama and says, and here's my problem with the whole shir, because the way I divided up the shir, the Rama should have said the opposite.
comes along the Ramah and says, "V'dafka b'shinush mishtana yizeh zeh ha'inyan, val im ta'a b'manginat ha'tamu b'nhikud, en machzirin ato va go'arim bo." Says the Ramah. Yeah, you know, if indeed he changed kasef to zahav, or indeed he changed, let's say, lo tignov to tignov, that's a big change. Instead of thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not murder. Then you tell him to go back. But if he changes kesef to kasef, it's the same thing. The Rambam says, no, you got to tell him to read again. Right? The Rambam says, you don't have to machzirato, but after davening, take him aside and say, you know, you're a lousy bal kora. Next time, practice a little more. No, be nice at Shabbos. Say like this, you're a wonderful man. We like you very much. If you don't mind to practice a bit more next time, we'll help you. We'll give you methods and whatnot so you don't make mistakes. What's the machlokas? If it's learning Torah, you can't make a mistake when you teach Torah. A mistake can be totally and utterly critical. Imagine if you're learning a Gemara and they mishear you. Imagine a guy goes to shir and he's half asleep. The shir you just heard about warming up food on Shabbos, and you go home and your wife asks you, "What did you learn today?" "Oh, Dr. Daniel came in and he gave us a shir. He talked about Shabbos, warming up food. So I guess he said you have to cook on Shabbos." That's a critical mistake. That's a malacha d'oraisa. You want to get stoned? That's the way to do it. And I don't mean stoned high. But if you're just mimicking Har Sinai, then we don't really care so much if you say kasif or kesif. It's the same thing. You're just mimicking Har Sinai. Therefore, the Ramah says, if you make a little mistake that doesn't change the actual content, no, we'll live with it. The Rambam says, you're learning Torah. You got to learn straight. You got to learn correct. And if you're not correct, you got to go ahead and correct him or her. Let me go further than that. And I'll end with this story. Rabbi Herschel Schechter is fond of saying that once, again, this is what I heard from him. You can take it. I'm not going to give interpretation on the story. He said there were a bunch of Catholic priests or maybe Protestant priests that came into Yeshiva University. And they were told, just do what you do all day. They want to see what a real yeshiva looks like. So they come into the Beis Medrash, and they see the Beis Medrash. People love learning, and they come into a conference room, and they ask, how was it? And they said, interesting. We just have one question. Yeah. Why are they all yelling at each other? He's saying this, because, you don't know what you're talking about. And he goes back, you don't know what you're talking about. And a real Litvak yeshivas, they call each other names. You know, in Yiddish, you know, curses can really kill you right over there. You know what curses are in Yiddish. Yiddish is a beautiful, pure language. But the curses go something like this. You should be zoiche to take your daughter on the chuppah, and under the chuppah you should get a heart attack and die. Now, that's what they're saying when they're learning. So our Herschel Schechter tells a story like this, that they said to him, well, that's the difference between us and you. You believe in Avodah Zarah, which is all Narishkeit. So therefore, by you, you say crazy things. No one says anything. Like, there can be immaculate conception. Okay, no problem. By us, we believe in truth, because we believe the Torah is emes. So if you're not going to get to the truth, we're going to get you on it. So these boys want to get to the truth. So if someone says something stupid, they're going to get them on it. Based on that story, you understand. If it's learning Torah, you got to get to the truth. If it's kasef, it's kasef. If it's kesef, it's kesef. If, on the other hand, it's mimicking Har Sinai, the details don't bother me that much as long as it means the right thing. Kesef means kasef, and kasef means kesef, and there's no problem.
So then, according to that's how it fits in perfect with the Ramah at the start of an Ashkenazim.
That's right.
Because according to the Ramah, mimicking Har Sinai, you should stand. According to the Rambam, you can sit because it's learning Torah.
Absolutely. So, gentlemen, we learned today about standing throughout the year. The answer is probably you don't have to stand at all. If you do stand, you mimic Har Sinai. We bought two nafkaminas. One is which trupti you use for Aseret HaDibrot, and the other is the reader's mistake. I just want to end with one word of Musar. I suggest to everyone the following with regard to the reader's mistake. This has nothing to do with the shir. If you don't know he made a mistake, keep your mouth shut. Because learning Torah all year is a takana de Rabbanan. We just learned. Who was the rabbi that enacted it? Rabbi Moses. He was a rabbi. He had smicha. He can enact an enactment, Harold. It's all right. He didn't have to get from Yeshiva University. He didn't have to get to the Rabbanut. He got from God. A little small detail. Because this is the Rabbanan, first of all, if you don't know, keep your mouth shut. Because if you are wrong and you correct someone in public, you're embarrassing him in public. And I have to tell you what the Gemara says about that. In my humble opinion, there should be a guy in shul who's bucky in lashon and knows
If it's an Ashkenazic, a Sephardic shul, very simple. One guy, stand next to the bima, correct on everything. In an Ashkenazic shul, Ramah, have a guy who knows Lashon, who knows the difference, who knows that this is a mistake, this is not a mistake, that a who and a he can make a difference or not, he should be the one. And everyone should not be standing there and jump on the guy. Because what happens is, first of all, you can be embarrassing a guy in public. Second of all, it causes havoc. Though it's excitement, it causes havoc. And third of all, you're going to lose many Baalei Korah who says, what do I need this for? I'll just be a nice little guy, I'll sit in the corner, and I'll correct people. What do we need that for? So that's just a little word of Musar at the end of the shiur. You can take it any way you wish. I think it's important.